Welcome to Edgemont Bible Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois, where our mission is to glorify God by guiding people into a discipleship relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's listen in to today's message by our pastor, Douglas A. White.
The passage we're going to look at today is in Revelation chapter 5, and it's the first seven verses. Now, as you are looking at your Bible, I want you to remember this. When the Bible is written, it's written in all capital letters. There's no spacing between it. There's no verse numbers. The letters are all run together because they needed to save space. They had only so much papyrus, so they wrote everything in capital letters with no space in between the words. And they wrote it all without versification and without any chapter divisions or anything like that. So when you are looking at the chapter divisions, those have been given to us by people who have translated the Bible in order that we could follow through with what they thought was the thought that's going on. Revelation chapter 4 begins a worship service, and it runs through chapter 5. So all the way from chapter 4:1 through the end of chapter 5 is the recording of a worship service. Now, it's a peculiar worship service because it's also a judgment service. It's court being in session. And as I had opportunity to read through this today, several times, I began to realize I don't even know that I have any worth to be able to read this. This is a worship service. I mean, this is big stuff. This is stuff that's holy. And I want all of us to understand here we are 2,000 years later reading about one of the most holy times in the whole Bible. You follow where I'm at there? This is what we're going to read today is one of the most holy times in the whole Bible. And you're getting an insight into heaven itself. This is something that John saw that's yet to take place. It could be happening any moment now. But John is seeing something. It's a worship time that began early on in the fourth chapter. So I'm going to go back to the fourth chapter and read verse 1. Listen to what it says. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. That is a compelling invitation. Would you agree with that? Now, the voice that's speaking like a trumpet that says, come up here, is just not one that you want to say, could I have a couple minutes? I need to fix my hair. This is a compelling invitation. Now, here's what we can know about John. For this worship service, we know that John is on an island because of his testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody with me? So he already knows that he's in trouble with the authorities. He has trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He's seen Christ. He knows who Christ is. He has been a full witness. He's pastored churches in the name of Jesus Christ. He's carried Jesus Christ everywhere. He's been persecuted for the Lord Jesus Christ. This man has made some sacrifices, but he hasn't considered them sacrifices. He's considered Jesus' sacrifice as being the most holy thing that could be. So here's this man who knows who he is. He's humbled, and he's told us already, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That gave me a clue about what we need to do with every worship service. Every worship service begins with the knowledge of the sacrifice that lets us be here. It's the sacrifice of Christ that lets us be here. It's the fact that I'm coming into a place, I'm coming into a body of people here because someone else gave his life in my place and put me in a personal relationship with the living God. I'm fully forgiven. I am made a new person, and I need to be in the Spirit. So when I'm going to meet with other brothers and sisters, or if I'm going to meet by myself in the morning, just getting up with the Lord, I want to be in the Spirit. I want to move in that direction because he's abiding in Christ. I want to abide in Christ. I want Christ to be the word that's in my heart. I want Christ to be the word that's in my mouth. I want Christ to be the word that's in my mind, not my circumstances, not my to-do list, not what I'm upset about. I want it to be Christ. And I want that to put me where I am in the Spirit. Whatever day it is, Lord's Day, whatever day, I want to be in the Spirit. Everybody follow where I'm at? Because it's when you're in the Spirit that worship begins. This man is being called up to heaven to experience a worship service that's going to go on. So look with me just a minute. Here's what it says. It says in verse 2, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he who sat there was like jasper and a sardius stone. Do you realize what an honor this is? This man's getting to see things that others can't see. And he's going to be excited about it. Now, because we're going to be in chapter 5, I want you to just go on with me. He describes all kinds of things. Verse 5 says, and from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now, are you getting the picture here? There's some noise going on. But it's not John making the noise. This noise is coming from the throne itself. That's thunders, lightnings, and voices. And when that thunder, lightning, and voices take place, I want you to watch what happens. He talks about these living creatures. Verse 8 says, the four living creatures having six wings were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying this, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. That's worship. And they are acknowledging the praise of God's eternal existence. Not just any existence, self-existence. He's not needing anyone outside of himself. Now, why would that be important to John? John's on an island where he has to fend for himself. He doesn't know, he has no idea if he's even going to have a meal any of those days. And he is in the presence of the one who is always alive, who was, who is, and is to come. So he's in the presence of the Eternal One, and they're singing this. Now, how much noise is going on there? I've got thunder and lightning and got voices. And then I've got this choir saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. This is who was and is to come. That's a lot of noise going on. You follow where I'm at? Apparently, it's not even confusing noise. Go on with me further. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Why is it important that you acknowledge that God creates the heaven and the earth? This is going to be what later has been called the eternal gospel. Worship God who created the heavens and the earth. What's the big deal about that? Here's the big deal. When you acknowledge that God created the heavens and the earth, what is yours? Only what he's letting you use. You follow where I'm coming from? It's only what he's letting you use. Now, he's been gracious to us. We get to use a whole lot of stuff. But we're also going to be responsible for getting to use a whole lot of stuff. These elders fall down and worship and say, you're the one who deserves all the praise and honor. This is your world. This doesn't belong to Caesar. This doesn't belong to the Emperor of China. This doesn't belong to the President of the United States. This is your world. And you're doing in your world as you wish. You're worthy of honor and power and glory. Do you follow the worship that's going on here? Kids, when we meet together like this, we need to meet as people who know the sacrifice that's been for us, who understand we're here because Jesus, we're not here because somebody's going to be playing a great game sometime and we're all fans of the same group. We're not here because we like cultures and different things. We're here because the one thing we have in common, our humanity and the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. That's what draws us to this place. John's knowing that. John is recognizing this. John is recognizing that God is eternal and that God is the one who created the heavens and the earth. He's here in this place because he knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's Jesus that brought him to this place, not him. Nothing he did that. You follow what an attitude difference that would make if we entered into a room like this to worship together, if we said, I can't wait to see what songs we're going to sing because my heart is so full of praise right now, so full of worship right now. I've read the Psalms, and I've got the Psalms in my heart right now. I can't wait for us to sing. Al, give me something good. Jeff, bring me something good, man. Praise team, whatever it is, because I'm ready. I'm about to launch out here with words of praise and adoration to God. And if you don't get the right ones, I may just burst out anyway and do my own. You see where I'm coming from? Because our heart is full. It's ready for it. John is seeing all this. Can you imagine what it is to have seen what he's seen? Now, come to chapter 5 with me. Listen to this. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is, now that's, I want to remind you, that's with the thunders, lightnings, and voices going on. That's with the holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty who is and is to come. That's when the elders are singing their song or saying their statement, however that may be. And a loud voice is saying, who is worthy to open the scroll and loose its seal? Then it says, and no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or look at it. So I wept much. That's, when we come to that one, I'll share some things with you about that. Because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and loose its 7 seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne of the 4 living creatures, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. We're stopping there today. That's only part of the worship service. There has been a worship service already going on. Everybody follow me? And once this thing is transferred, there's going to be a worship service, kids, that takes in everybody. Talk about a wide scope. This is going to take in everybody. This is quite a worship service, and you're getting to see it. This is what goes on in heaven, and we're getting to see it. I was telling Shara, I said, I don't know if I can bring this across the way that God's spoken in my very spirit about this thing. This is a big deal. It's not the typical worship service. This is how heaven worships. This is what they do. And this is what you're going to do someday. Why not today? Well, let's go on. We got this. The court is in session and the judgment is about to be read with the attendant execution of it. So, there's a judgment that's sitting there. In a minute, I'll show you why we say that. The worship of the cherubim is taking place. Their praise of God's eternal self-existence. There's the worship of the elders that's taking place. God's creation of the cosmos and his rightful ownership of it. Listen, if God created the heavens and the earth, he has the right to own it. He has the right to judge it. He has the right to put any weather he wants on it at any time he wants. He has the right to do anything. He has the right over the people who live in that. Even though people may object to that, and people may have all kinds of things to say about it, it doesn't matter what we say. He created the heavens and the earth. It belongs to him, and he has the right over it. We are living in so much common grace all the time. He is giving us our provisions. How many of you in here right now, you'd say, I can acknowledge I am breathing? Good. Why are you breathing? Listen, how many of you have to think about breathing? Not a single one of you. Matter of fact, until somebody says something about breathing, you probably didn't even know you were doing it. You're not beating your own heart. There's a great and awesome God that gave you the capacity to take in air, with the capacity for that air to make some exchanges in your body that keep you alive and keep you thriving, that gave to you a beating heart that's carrying that air and a variety of other things all through your body without you even thinking about it. And you're living in His air. You're living in His space by His delight. It brings Him joy to have you alive. You follow where we're at? He enjoys the fact that we are alive. He enjoys the fact that we love one another. He enjoys the fact we care for one another. That's why He gave us His Son. We're part of that delight, kids. The judgment document is in the hand of the judge, and the one to execute the sentence is sought. So I realize next week maybe I'll do something different, but here I want you to see is the judgment seat. And when this judgment seat, it's shame. It's, when I was reading this in Greek, I came to understand, it's not saying it was in His hand as if He was holding it like a scroll tight. That would mean somebody have to take it from Him. It said it was upon His hand. That's the actual word that's used there. It was upon His hand. Now, that means His hand is open, not closed. He's got it open, and the scroll's laying across it. You say, what difference does that make? Did anybody ever hand you candy with a closed fist or an open fist? When your mom wanted you to have a peanut butter jelly sandwich, was it like this, take it? Or was it like this? Here's the sandwich for you. You follow where I'm coming from? He's wanting somebody to take that thing. You follow that? He's wanting this thing to come to an end. He's wanting the judgment to be finished so that the rest of it can go on. He's promised a new world to His Son. And He's saying, please, take it. Somebody take it. And they're not finding anybody anywhere that can do it. Now, that breaks John's heart. I don't want to get to that just yet. I want to just share this with you. Judgment document is open right-hand palm of the one seated on the throne. The judge is not holding it tightly, but is seeking someone to take it and finish the execution that will end the tyranny that the Satan, sin, and death have held on mankind since it's just after the beginning. God wants it done. End it and start the new age. So, all the way from back here, this beautiful earth that He created here for people to live in, to enjoy, to multiply in, and bring the whole area into the glory of God, from all that time back here, from the time of the fall and the tyranny that has gone on with Satan, sin, and death. And the tyranny that's gone on with people who can't believe, who don't believe, who won't believe, and all the tyranny that's gone with that, all these centuries and generations working their way up where Christ comes to die on the cross, to pay for all that, to bring a restored world to it. Here's what was John is having this document, seeing God have this document in His hand, a document that was written and sealed back here. A promise of God. A promise to end the tyranny and bring in a new restored world. It was sealed back here. You say, how do you know that? Go with me to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. In Daniel chapter 12, in my Bible that follows 10 and 11. And 10 and 11 have been really a pre-shadowing of what the tribulation is going to be like. It's been all about an unkind king. It's been all about someone who's really the Antichrist and about what he did. And this is the same thing that's going to be happening back in the book of Revelation, as we'll see in a little while. In Revelation 12, he says this, at that time, Michael will stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. That's Michael the archangel who's standing watch over Daniel's people, which is Israel. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. This is what's being told to Daniel, and Daniel is writing that down. Now watch. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end, and many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. So what Daniel has been writing down is all of the things that deal with the final time of judgment, that which is called Daniel's 70th week. It's that final time of judgment. And Daniel has not even understood himself how all this is going to work. He's going to ask a little bit later in this chapter, what does this mean? He said, never mind. Seal it up. Shut it up. It's not for you to know. It's for those at the end of time. So you are those who right now are about to see what Daniel's document that he sealed up looks like when the seals come popping off. Everybody follow me? So that's what you're looking at. Here's this judgment document, the prophecies about the end of things, the prophecies that seal up everything that has to do with that new coming kingdom. And it's right in the palm of the hand of of God Almighty. And it's being offered. Please take this document. Please open it up, end the whole thing, and bring in the restoration. So he's asking someone to open it up. That's someone right down in here. Open this up so that the last part of this can be finished. The judgment can be done and the whole earth be restored. The whole cosmos be restored to its rightful ownership. That's what he's looking for. Letter C in our outline. A supposed snag occurs when no one of proper worth is found to carry it out. That's what's got John upset. Because here's the deal. If Jesus is not the end of this thing, if what John understood and believed about the Lord Jesus Christ, if Jesus is not the end of that, if Jesus is not the one that fulfills all that scripture, they're locked. Do you realize what we're locked into? We're locked into the complete cycling of things that have been going on in this earth since the time of the fall. We're going to be locked into conquest, kings, authorities, tyranny, death, suffering, 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 till we cry out to God again and it starts over again. That's where we've been living, kids, for years. And John's looking at this thing and said, no, 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 no. What? Jesus isn't the end of this. This is going to keep going. What were we hoping in? What were we believing? What were we trusting? No, no, no. He's got to be there. It's got to be finished. It's got to be over. I had an excellent passage I wanted to read to you, and I think I left it in the glory room. I think it's in a book that I left in the glory room. So you'll just have to listen to my retelling of it. I hope it's good. I hope I remember it. Okay. John is crying tears that are called bitter tears. These are the same tears that Peter cried when he realized his betrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's crying. These tears hurt. These are the tears of regret. And that pain of regret is far worse than the pain of discipline. The pain of regret when there's no way to change what just took place. And John's crying those bitter tears. As best I recall, this went something like this. These are the same tears that Adam and Eve cast out of the garden, cried over their son Abel as they saw his lifeless body laying there. These are the tears of every mother and father who's had to see their child pass away before they do. This is the tears of every lover who had to see their lover pass away. This is the tears of those who have to watch somebody suffer through COVID. And no, there's not a thing you can do about it. These are the bitter tears. And John's crying them right now. These are the tears of everyone who's gone through their own personal loss and knowing, if I hadn't done that, if I had just been doing the right thing, and I can't change it. That's the tears. That's what he's crying. And that's when you got to get all excited. In verse 4 it says, so I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll to look at it. I want you to just remind this. This world is under Satan's control. I think that shows itself up more and more every day. Amen? And because it's under his control, can you see him just sit there and wait? Go ahead. Open it. Is he going to open it? No reason to. He's in charge. And he can keep on doing the same tyrannical death thing he's been doing since the beginning. He's really in charge. There's nobody can open that book. And they're looking around. There's nobody in heaven can do it. There's nobody on earth can do it. There's nobody in Sheol beneath that can do it. No one. And then that elder says to him, one of the 24. I don't know who that guy is, but I hope we get to meet him, don't you? When he says, hey, stop. Stop your crying. Because he's been found. The one that's worthy has been found. The lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has been found worthy. Yahweh. Can you just imagine the change in your emotion? I mean, you going from one thing to another. I would assume that must happen in a worship service. Would you agree? I mean, that must happen. Have you ever been in a worship service when you knew that you were so broken over your own sin, you were so broken over something you'd done, that you found yourself crying? Nobody even knew why you were crying. Nobody knew what you were upset about, but you did. Because God had spoken to your heart at the depth and you were really hurting for something. Maybe it's a relationship that was broken. Maybe it's somebody you hurt. Maybe it's somebody that hurt you. But whatever it was, you're finding those tears and they're coming down. And then you heard the message of God's grace. God's forgiveness. God's completion. And how he drew you to himself, took you in his arms and said, I forgive. I forgive. I heal. I take the brokenhearted and I bring them, put them back together again. And you've gone from that weeping that was bitter inside and you've gone to the joy of your salvation. That's where John is. That's where John is. Elder John has been waiting for the new age to begin, is brokenhearted and openly weeps for the scroll to be open. These are deep, bitter weeping with tears. One of the 24 elders tells him to stop weeping, for a worthy opener has found, and the scroll is passed to a lamb without objection. Look here, it says in verse 6, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Now, Do you get the picture that this is the center of attention? This is the focus of everything. That all of heaven is now focused on this one thing. Somebody has been found worthy, and it's the focus of it. Okay? Now, as he goes on to say here, verse 7, then he came and took the scroll out of his right hand of him who sat on the throne. Let's just get the picture of this. We're on page 2 of your outline. If you're trying to keep up with the guys up there, I know I'm not giving you much. I didn't have any blanks to fill in today. There's a title given. He's the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. You can write this down. That comes from Genesis 49, verses 8 to 10. Genesis 49, verses 8 to 10. And there, this is the blessing that's being given by Jacob for his sons. Jacob's an old man. He's dying now. And he's called all his sons in to receive the blessing. And he says about Judah, Judah, you're a lion's whelp. Judah, the scepter won't leave you. Messiah is coming from you. So they knew that coming from Judah, ultimately through the root of David, was going to come the Messiah, the one who's going to rule it all. And when John is looking, he's looking, and there in the center of this whole, the tension of everything, is a lamb that looks like it's been slain, and yet it's living. And John is saying, that's the worthy one. And he's calling him the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. Who else was that? That's got to be Jesus. But now, kids, I want you to go with me on this. The worth is honored. He has prevailed. His worth is innate, so it's inside him. And it's earned. By using the word prevailed, he's not just simply telling us that he's the one who's supposed to come. He prevailed. What did he prevail over? He prevailed over death. He prevailed over the adversary. He prevailed over death, over sin. He's forgiving sin. He has prevailed over everything on this planet. He's prevailed over the adversary, the liar. So he's not only worthy because he is God in the flesh, but he's worthy because he's earned that as well. No wonder they'll be saying, you are worthy to receive glory and honor and power and blessing, because he has. He earned it for you, kids. He's taking your death on himself. He's taking your sin, your life on himself, and he's paying it in full. And he's taking your death on himself. That's right, your death on himself, and rising from the dead to give you new life. You're going to be in this vision because of something Jesus did for you. Now I want you to just make this with me here. The description made. It's a lamb as though it had been slain, yet it is alive. Now, a lamb that has been slain, as I go back and try to remember, how did they take care of the offerings? They had to, first of all, bring that lamb, put their hand on the head of that lamb, and then they cut its throat. So I'm assuming that what you're seeing there is a lamb who has his throat cut. He's been slain. Yet the lamb is obviously alive. And it goes on to say that it has... A lamb as though it had been slain, that's the sacrifice that conquered death, that paid for sin and rose again. He has the seven horns, which is his complete and perfect authority. Seven is the number of completion and perfection. He's got seven of those horns, and that is his complete authority. Now, kids, this is Jesus he's looking at. But Jesus isn't, this is the image he's given to see of Jesus. You follow him that? If we see Jesus today, he won't likely be a lamb that looks like he's been slain with seven horns and seven eyes and that sort of thing. He'll be the Jesus that we know. But he's wanting us to see why this image of Jesus is so important. Why? Because the lamb that's slain is the one who paid for your death, the one who paid for your life, the one who paid for all of you. He is alive because he's the one that's alive from the dead. He has the seven horns because he has a perfect and complete authority. And he has the seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, for perfect judgment that sees all and misses nothing. Now, that should scare us. And that should please us. Scare us, why? Because he sees everything we did. And thrill us because nobody gets by with anything. Nobody's going to pull anything on you. If you've been deceived... did he know about it? Yes. If you've been mistreated, does he know about it? Yes. He saw it all. And these seven eyes are the seven spirits, and it says they're sent out in all the world. So I can tell you this, he judges the whole cosmos. He's seen it all. There's not an adversary that isn't known about fully. There's not an angel. There's not a spirit any place that he does not know everything about. This lamb that was slain knows all. Nothing's going to get by. Let me go on further. This is Jesus. He's the eternal Word of God. John chapter 1 describes him this way. He's the eternal Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word became flesh, we're told later, but he is the eternal Word of God. He's the creator of every molecule of everything in the cosmos, the fullness of God in human flesh. You know, when I look at this, he's the creator of every molecule of everything in the cosmos. I've been studying to get my ham operator's license. I want to be a ham operator because I think that may be a way that in a few months or years, whatever it is, we may be able to communicate with one another. I don't know where churches will head in a few years from now. I don't know whether we'll get to meet together or whether we're all going to be underground churches. I don't know. But I'd like to have some way to be able to communicate with people that's not counted upon the phone. So I'm looking at ham operating. Well, I am not a technician. What I know about electricity, you can write on the edge of my thumbnail. But I'm having to study electricity. Wow. My father created that. What kind of a mind thinks that up? That unseen in this room are all kinds of electromagnetic waves where if there was somebody on the right frequency, with the right equipment, could pick it up and hear a voice message. What is that? Who thinks like that? Your God thinks like that. Your God called all those light particles, beams, molecules, whatever they are, called all that whole electromagnetic scale, called all of it into being with his voice. A word. That's who this is. That's who this Lamb is. Every molecule, he's the fullness of God in human flesh. Everything you can know about God, he's it. He's the image of the unseen God. He's the inheritor of the whole of creation. This whole thing that he created, he's going to inherit. Satan doesn't get to keep it. Satan's been a usurper. He's been a liar. He's been a user. He's been a dictator. He's been a whole bunch of things, but he doesn't get to keep it. Why? Because that scroll is laying on that hand that's been opened and says, please take it, is being taken by that Lamb, this one right here, and is about to be opened and finished the whole thing, and then he's going to sit on the throne of glory in this restored kingdom. That's where you say hallelujah. Well, that's sick. Come on, guys. That's when you say hallelujah. Yeah, there you go. That's more like it. Now, look, this is our destiny. You follow? This is God telling you, hey, you having trouble with some problems down there? Let me share with you what I'm about to do. Come to my worship service, son. I want you to see what I'm about to do. I'm going to open this thing up like you never imagined. You're concerned about the people who are in charge now? Don't worry about it, boy. Can I tell you something? They're all going to perish. And they will answer to me, for I'm the one with seven eyes that sees it all. If you're my kid and you're suffering, okay, I'm with you, and I will have you forever and ever and ever. And I'll have your name all over it. He's the one who exists before all things. Before anything came to be, he was already here. The one through whom and for whom all things were created. He's the one who holds all things together by his word. He's the shepherd and the lamb and the rock and the light of the shepherd. He's the light of the world. He's the life of all that is, the way, the truth, the life, the resurrection, the Son, the beginning, the end, the first and last, and the one who was dead and is alive forevermore. That's who this Lamb is. And he's been counted worthy to come up and without objection, without any resistance, take it right out of the hand and hold it. Let me tell you, if you think there's been a worship service before this, show up next week. I want you to see what the worship service is after he gets it. Oh, my. Oh, my. Now, the rest of the book of Revelation is this scroll popped. Unrolled and read out to the last word. And you're going to see this one right here. Ride in and take the earth that the Father promised him. And that same one promised you everlasting life. That same one promised you would be a part of him. You are in Christ today, seated in heavenly places, this one who's been told to patiently wait until the time I put all your enemies as your footstool. So if you were having difficulties trying to be patient and endure, may I ask you to just come back here to this worship service each time and say, oh boy, nothing like what this one is. No amount of suffering in this day, wrote Paul, is worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Praise his name. This is the beginning of the end, and it is unstoppable. When this Lamb comes up, I mean, we're 2,000 years into this. I get it. When this Lamb comes up and takes that scroll, there is nothing going to stop what's about to take place. What takes place is going to be so thorough and so complete that by the end of it, there is a new heaven and a new earth waiting for all of us who have held on with patient endurance the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ, for who he is, for what he's doing. Thank you for saving our lives. We know, Father, this is nothing we did for ourselves. We know. We recognize we could not possibly have done what needed to be done. All the reconciliation that Jesus did in heaven and earth and under the earth. Father, we praise you for the Lord Jesus Christ today. We thank you that you've given us just the privilege of getting some insight to see it and to have him to know us. Thank you for what you're doing. I ask, Father, if anyone's here today without the knowledge of Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that you'll give them the faith to this day receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and be saved forever. Thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Come thou almighty King. He is coming. And listen, people have been wondering about that for 2,000 years. Because God is long-suffering and gracious and not willing that any should perish, don't worry about it. Let God do the thing he's doing. He will promise and keep his promise just as he said. Right? You're a blessed people. You have been given Christ. You have been given the Word of God. You've been given the Holy Spirit. You've been given the promise. You have been given power. You are fully equipped, fully authorized, and fully empowered to carry out his will. What a great honor. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for letting us have this day. Thank you so much for loving us and caring for us. We give you praise for that. Now, Father, I ask that you would let us take that power that you have given us already and be bold. Bold, because there are people who need to be rescued, Father, people who are in great trouble right now because they do not realize all that's about to take place. We pray for those in authority over us, Father, asking that you would give them wisdom, discernment, the fear of God, that they might do those things that are right and pleasing in your sight, to remember that they are but dust. Now thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope God has encouraged you with today's message by Pastor White. Thank you for joining us at the Edgemont Bible Church. We'd love to have you visit us if you're ever in the area. For directions, more information, or to support the ministry of Edgemont Bible Church, please go to our website at edgemontbiblechurch.org. That's Edgemont Bible Church, all one word, .org. You can also follow us on Facebook at Edgemont Bible Church, where the Sunday morning message is broadcast live.